When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here comes the throw home. He's going to be out at home. Oh, what a throw by Soto.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome.
The Casamigos Big Shot of the Night is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. And tonight's Casamigos Big Shot of the Night goes to former Yankee, now Met, Luis Severino, LGYM. Let's go Yankee Mets. I'm rooting for the guy, and I think most Yankee fans are. And we're not surprised by seeing him back-to-back outings have a perfect game bid, a no-hit bid. And tonight, man, his final line, he goes 8 innings pitched, 1 hit, 1 earned run, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts, and a loss. But Sevy's doing what he's supposed to do. Sevy's doing like the way you want to draw it up, Severino to Diaz. Most days you draw that up and you figure that's a win. But that's just baseball Susan. 101 pitches, he's got a 2.31 ERA. Severino, with the little bit of flow coming out of the back of the hat and the beard and the chain. And I don't know, he looks the part over there in Queens. Keep doing your thing, Sevy. I don't know if you'll be the NL Cy Young winner, but maybe you'll get considered for another All-Star game. Keep going. 877-337-6666. Mets fans, call me up. That's a tough one. Like I said, frustrating losses tonight. Sevy gives up the hit. I'm watching it right now in front of me. Dansby Swanson, then a broken bat play, and Joey Wendell doesn't go home. And I mean, it is what it is. And you end up losing the game. It is what it is, but it isn't the jerseys. Have I given you my spiel on the jerseys? I love the jerseys. I think they're well done. I won't say love. I like the jerseys. What I love is that New York even gets a jersey, because you know the Yankees aren't going to do one. The Yankees refuse to do anything cool like that. But at least the Mets leaned into it, and I think they knew that they would be the only New York team to lean into it. So instead of putting Queens across the chest, they decided, hey, we're the only ones connecting the city for these City Connect uniforms. Let's put NYC New York City, rep the entire city of Mets fans. And I like the gray. I think it's symbolic of the gray days that we have here that are overcast and gray in New York City. And the gray buildings, and, you know, I think they're a good little alternate uniform, and the Yankees won't do it, so I tip my cap to the Mets. Just got to get a win with them. Got to get a win with them on, or people are going to say, they're terrible. They're the worst thing ever. These City Connect uniforms are the worst thing. I'm still looking for the tweet so I can get the numbers on how Aaron Judge, despite him not being Aaron Judge, has still driven in more runs with Volpe and really Juan Soto in front of him. And then last year, where I don't know, anybody could have been leading off last year. DJ, Glaber, Jake Bowers. Shout out to Jake Bowers getting some revenge over the weekend as well. 877-337-6666. You can reach me on Twitter if you can't get to the phone. And you know what? Patrick Riley, shout out to you. He said, I agree with you on Judge. He's not okay, but I see a lot of similarities from when we had Teixeira, and that may just have been pain from April, May weather. But when he heats up, he will be fine. If he's not okay then I'm worried. I don't subscribe to it. It was 90 degrees in Baltimore today. It was summer weather today, and they went completely cold. You know, these guys have been playing now since February. And I know in Tampa it's a little warmer, but it also is cold down there. Either you can hit or you can't. And the Yankees, depending on the day, flip a coin, they can hit or they can't. Let's go to Louie in Sheepshead Bay on the Fan. What's up, Louie?
Keith, you're doing a great job, man. I've been listening for a while, first time calling in, so just wanted to
appreciate
say
it.
Hello. I love what you said a couple of weeks ago. I was listening when you told that great story about Mr. C. That was really touching, man.
R.I.P. Mr. C. Yeah, wish I got to meet him in real life. You know, life is short.
Yeah. You met him over the airwaves.
No, yeah, I mean, we spoke on WFAN the first night I ever was on. I wish I didn't, you know. I wish I would have went out of my way to find him.
What we do know is everything happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. So there's a reason for you to be on that night, for Mr. C to call in and to welcome you into that space. So
yeah, yeah.
Rest in peace to Mr. C. So I years ago, like in another lifetime, I was a regular caller to Joe Beningo and then Tony Page.
Sure.
So, you know, but I've been listening to you. It's great. And I want to say I'm one of those people. I had my firstborn next to me. We're driving up from Baltimore right now, driving back.
Oh, you went to the game.
We were there. We sat right over the Yankees on deck circle. We were in the eighth row. And I agree with you. I think the top of this lineup, I think the full lineup is great. I think it's going to be great. You know, and we've been great without really Judge. You know, that low and away pitch, I mean, he just has to get that fixed. If he could just lay off of it or better identify it,
yeah,
but Judge is going to be fine.
Or they could get us a challenge system or some robo umps, because it's tough to swing at a pitch that you don't know. 50-50, it's a strike or a ball. You could get rung up on it. You got to fight it off. But, yeah, I'm with you. Go on.
So I think they're going to be fine. But you know who else is really hot that didn't do anything tonight? Trevino.
Well, Austin Wells. Yeah, go ahead.
All right. No, you're supposed to tell me how Trevino didn't play tonight.
Yeah, Austin Wells got the start. And Austin Wells was batting sixth in the lineup. And I just think that he's a rookie. He looks very much like a rookie. He's run into some bad luck. That ball that he hit, Stanton getting caught in the base pass, just like not being the baseball player that he said he was going to work on being more of a baseball player and not just a masher. Well, that didn't look like it.
Well, I mean, so in his defense, and I got to say, when it comes to Stanton, when it comes to our success this year, our lineup, I think it's really resting on what Stanton and Rizzo do. If they could just give us what they've given us so far, there's nobody stopping us. I mean, let's be real. They're both off to a decent start, relatively speaking.
Agreed.
So I'm with it. Like, let Stanton keep staying inside the ball. I'm not a huge Stanton fan, but this year I'm loving what I'm seeing from him. And in his defense, and especially where we were sitting, that he had a freeze on that shot. It really was on a line. And if it goes the other way and he gets doubled up, where, you know, there's people going to be killing him for getting doubled up.
You got to look at where the outfielder is playing. You got to know where you're playing. Santander
He was worried about the second baseman catching.
Okay, I don't know. In real time, it looked
It was a line drive. Like, it could have. I think he was worried about
the second baseman going up and getting it. I don't know.
I think he just froze. Either way, you know, listen, he's not a great base runner. We know that. And this isn't a call about defending Stanton by any means. Really, what I think here is that Boone, once again, all right, this is a guy who was in the house when Boone. Okay, I was in the loge in left field, so I got nothing against Boone, but he's the worst manager. I thought Girardi was the worst manager.
Got nothing against the guy, but he's the worst.
Not the worst manager. I mean, come on, this guy. How do you let Trent Missam or Grisham? I'm sorry,
Trent Missam.
How do you let Trent bat in that spot in the ninth inning when you got Trevino is on? He's hot right now. He's seeing the ball. How don't you bring him in to pinch hit for
him? You're hoping that Trent Grisham picks up where he left off in Milwaukee, hitting his first homer. I don't know.
All right, he hit his first homer. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Nice, but he's not here for offense. I mean, I happen to be sitting
behind. If you want to put the right-handed bat in that situation to try and fight and win the game.
Against the lefty?
Yeah.
Absolutely, and he's a hot hand also. So, I just think it's another case where Boone sort of outsmarts himself, and he did good with. I liked the way he had the bullpen lined up. It was nice. He brought in. He has said it, you know. Recently, he doesn't want to overuse Holmes, and Holmes is on track to pitch in 82 games. Like crazy analytic nonsense.
Talked about that Friday. We're in April, projecting to September and October. Win the game you're in. That right. We play today. We win today. That's it. Win that game. Worry about tomorrow.
The lady who preceded me by a few calls, she sounds like a lovely lady. But with all
Kathy in Bayville.
We're playing baseball. We're not playing Machiavelli over here. What are we talking about?
No, there is no game for that. Like it's about that game today. The Yankees, the Yankees that won a ton of games that made us all diehard Yankee fans, man, they were locked in on winning that game today. There was no tomorrow.
Especially when you're playing an American League East
opponent,
rival.
Yes.
Not going anywhere.
The reigning division champs today, with first place on the line.
Correct. They beat us 7 out of 6 last year. This is like the way Tampa Bay used to play us back in the day. Like, they play us tough no matter what.
Yep.
And you know what? A game like today can come back to really bite you in the rear end.
It's just not a good way to start off a 4-game set in their place. Where, like I said, it's just now to win the series, you got to win 3 in a row.
Yeah.
I don't know. You either split or lose the series, and tomorrow. They know with Dean Kramer versus Nestor Cortez, that's a lean.
Nestor's a crapshoot.
Right now, it's like you're not that confident with him on the mound. You're less confident now with Marcus Stroman on the mound than you were. Luis Gil, look at Carlos Rodon, and even Clark tonight pitched well, but they could not get anything going. They left all the runs in Wisconsin.
It was nice to see, and I'll leave you with this because me and my son are sitting in front of the original Pat's King of Steaks waiting for this call to finish so we can get our grub on.
Nice.
To finish our ride up.
Do your thing.
But it was nice to see Schmidt at least get into the sixth inning and not get his rear end lit on fire.
Yeah, he let one knuckle curve hang in the zone. It got rocked, but then after that, he locked in. Clark has been really good this year,
and I thought he would be in his second full year.
And ignoring all the talk about signing Blake Snell, I'm happy we have him and not Blake Snell.
Not happy that we don't have Monty, but I didn't want Blake Snell either. I agree. Keith, thanks for the time, man. Continue doing a great job. You're a real New Yorker, man. It's refreshing to hear you on the air. So keep going, man. God bless.
Thanks for the call, Louie. Yeah, I actually thought about going to Camden Yards. I think if you guys heard me a few weeks ago, I'm like, yeah, I'm definitely driving down there. I kind of soured on that. And I just, I was going to go dolo, but I'm a different man now. I'm cooked, boys. If I wasn't married, if I didn't have a 1-year-old plus son, I'd be down there. We would be at Pickles. I got shots. I got beers. I got a couple rounds. We go take over Camden Yards. F the O's. Chant, let's go Yankee. Turn it into Yankee Stadium South. Yeah, I'm out of that now. You know? I got to grow up and be like Louie, where my son is old enough to be like, hey, I want to go see Camden Yards. And I say, ha, we're out of here. I'll drive us there, and we'll stop in Philly and get cheesesteaks on the way back. But yeah, nah, it is what it is, man. The Yankees lose, and it's their 5th shutout of this early season. So in 11 losses, right, almost half their losses, they were blanked, goose egg, 0. And this is a lineup with 2 generational players hitting 2nd and 3rd in Juan Soto and Aaron Judge. This is a lineup with a potential Hall of Famer at DH in Giancarlo Stanton. This is a lineup with a guy in Anthony Rizzo who just hit his 300th homer. I should have bet on him knowing his experience in Miller Park being a Cub. But he's no slouch either. This is a lineup with Gleyber Torres, who everybody told me he was a prodigy coming up. Gleyber's going to be an all-star. Just you wait and see. Gleyber's the future shortstop of the New York Yankees. And the current shortstop of the New York Yankees, Anthony Volpe, he's still a kid to me and to you. But, after 4 series, not even the finish, not even the last game, didn't even finish that series against the Marlins. And they moved him to leadoff in favor of getting Gleyber Torres going. Gleyber Torres doesn't get going till some weeks later. And I don't know, here we are, man. The lineup is the lineup. And I said that, and then I was wrong. This weekend, they threw Verdugo in there. And it worked. Verdugo, to break up the Judge and Stanton strikeouts, you throw the left-handed Verdugo. Verdugo is such an important part of this Yankees team. I laugh watching him play. Like, I hated the guy. I had no interest in him. And then going back to Gleyber Torres, the first report in the winter was floated, the Yankees would trade Gleyber for Verdugo. And I'm like, nah, hell nah. Now I kind of wish he was in the deal. 877-337-6666. Verdugo, you can tell his confidence, his energy. You know, Judge gave him a compliment saying he's the best left fielder he's played with outside of Brett Gardner. And the guy can hit better than Gardy was hitting on the way out. Verdugo's dog mentality, the like dog sign he does with his hands that they all do, even him getting a knock and going to first base and lifting his leg like a dog peeing. Like, this guy right now, outside of Juan Soto, he's the next most important guy on the team. And these are guys that have been here for a month. These are guys that, they've only been around the Yankees mid-February, like 2.5 months. And they're the most important players on the team. Not the captain, not the young second-year shortstop, not the left-handed hitting World Series champion first baseman they went and traded for, not the prospect of Gleyber Torres that was supposed to be this, that, and everything else. Gleyber Torres, man, when Gleyber Torres was coming up, he was in conversations with Ronald Acuna Jr., Fernando Tatis Jr., Juan Soto was like, you know, the young Latin explosion of star talented player. I'll let go on Gleyber because he did show up this past week and he had two knocks tonight. But all in all, this is supposed to be an all-in season. This is supposed to be a year that your New York Yankees have Verdugo for just 2024, have Juan Soto for just 2024, most likely Rizzo and Gleyber. This is their last year here too, so you just expect more from them. But all in all, they're 19-11. They're second place in the AL East. They just got to figure out when they're going like this with all of these shutout innings, there has to be a mentality of, hey, we're getting on. However we're getting on, we're passing the baton, we're scratching a run across. There's not enough of that. It's just LOB, left on base. They find a way to leave runners in scoring position. As I was looking for the tweet to tell me how many runs Judge has driven in this year having Volpe and Soto in front of him compared to the last couple years, whatever, Jack Curry put out his game 30 takeaways. When Jack Curry says something, listen, you know, Jack Curry, he tweeted out Friday when I was on air. You know, he had an issue with a lot of the things that I had issues with Friday, that Friday game, you know, saying what grinds my gears. So here's his game 30 takeaways. Shutout for the fifth time. Went 0 for 8 with runners in scoring position. 2 for 21 with runners on. Schmidt gave up a homer to Henderson on the seventh pitch. A knuckle curve. After that, Schmidt used sinkers and cutters to pitch 5 2/3 innings of one-run baseball. First time the Yanks lost in a Schmidt start this season. I'm not mad at Clark. All right? Gunnar Henderson is the reigning rookie of the year. He's like that. You leave a knuckle curve in the zone, his first at bat, he's ready to go. He put that ball on Utah Street. Okay, so what? Respond. Pick him up. And they're not able to pick him up. So let's hope that Nestor Cortez has it together going against Dean Kramer tomorrow. Let's take another Yankees call before we go on to the Knicks and the Rangers and the playoff euphoria that is in Madison Square Garden and wherever else they go. John in Port Jeff Station, you got it. You're on the Fan.
Hey, what's up, Keith? How you doing tonight?
I'm good. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, you got it. I'm kind of concerned about with the situation with Soto and Judge, and I'll tell you why. I think they should be flipped in the lineup. I don't know how you feel about that. I just think, even though Judge is in that third spot, he's seen pitches, but he's got to lay off that outside pitch, number one. But I think he's trying to do too much behind Soto. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I right now I'm against moving the two because Soto gets on. He's going to work a walk. He's gonna get a little knock. If you leave it there, he's going to hit it out of the ballpark. The whole reason you get an on-base machine like that is to put him in front of Judge, but Judge hasn't been Judge. Now, you know, I'm not opposed to it, but when do they do it? You know, when do they say, because like, what if you move Soto to the three spot and he completely cools off? It's like, I don't know. The lineup's got to kind of stay.
Then you don't have anybody. Yeah,
right? then it's nothing.
You don't have that production, which
Judge
would kill the
Yankees
because
Judge is one of the most dominant hitters we've seen in a long time. He's paid to do a job. I just don't see them moving him in the lineup. I don't see them giving him a rest day. He's just got to be better, more consistently.
Yeah, he's definitely got to come through. He's got to get through. Well, real quick, I'm just going to listen to you. I called a couple of weeks ago about little things that happened. You talk about Yankee memories and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I have another one for you. Back in 96, when I was an officer in the city, they took us off the side streets of Yankee Stadium, and we wound up, they called us into the bullpen for Atlanta. And then when they won the championship, the World Series, they put us on the field. It was the best feeling ever, and that's one of the better memories I have of the Yankees also.
Perks of doing the job. Amazing.
Good times. But thank you so much for your call, and you have a great night. You're doing a great job on the show.
Thank you, John. 877-337-6666. I'm kind of over talking about the Yankees not being able to score. It's nothing new. It's nothing new, whether it's Franchy Cordero and Willie Calhoun and Jake Bowers and Billy McKinney and Greg Allen and IKF. You can put together Juan Soto with Aaron Judge and Rizzo and Stanton and Glaber and Volpe. They can still put up a goose egg. And it just sucks because it's against the Orioles, who, you know, lost the series to the Oakland A's. You kind of looked at the Orioles, at least I did. I'm like, we got them where we want them. They just lost to the A's. The Yankees just put up 36 runs in 3 days. But nope, I said it. I said it when the lineup came out. I hope they save some runs for Baltimore. They're likely to go cold. Anyway, I would like to get into the conversation about the Knicks, but I know I got to throw some things out there. It'll trigger some Knicks calls. Rangers as well. Mets as well. I know the Mets fans don't want to talk to me about the Mets losing, and that's perfectly fine. It's perfectly fine. We got more to do. The NFL draft. Once we get into the next day, definitely going to talk about all the picks. Where I see these guys playing, not playing, how it's going to shake out. Also want to talk about the rest of the divisions. Talk about the NFL in general. The NFL is king, completely king. Next comes up the schedule release show. And before you know it, teams are having unofficial workouts or not mandatory workouts. And you're getting different reports coming out of camp. And I can't wait. Football will be here before we know it. All right. Let me see if I can... No, I can't take a call. It's better to break. I see Jarvis. I see Tim. Everybody else call up, and we'll get to your calls. But I'm going to put my notes together, and, well, my notes are together. But I'm going to pull from my notes some things that I had to say about the Knicks and about the NFL draft so that we can start to shift the conversation instead of talking about how, you know, Judge is hitting 100 points lower than Juan Soto and how the Yankees get blanked again. Only 11 losses. But five of those losses, shutout losses, they got to fix that because it's too much of a familiar problem with the New York Yankees. We've seen that happen to them in the postseason way too often. Now you're supposed to have a lineup that is shutout proof. Nope, that's baseball. You could still be shut out. Grayson Rodriguez, Cano, whoever is out there. And now they've got to put that behind them and get ready to go against Dean Kramer. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We're talking sports on the Fan. 877-337-6666. More Knicks conversation, more NFL draft conversation, more Rangers conversation, because that's the better conversation as we get closer to 12 o'clock and we turn the page to another day. KM to 2 a.m. returns.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Right after this.
When this happened, you talk about it on The Fan.
Mattingly swings and he has a drive to deep right center. It is high, it is far, it is gone. Back to back, Nina belly to belly.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Pack it up, pack it in. Let me begin. All right.
Pack it up, pack it in. Let me begin.
I came to win. Battle me, that's a sin. Keep it piercing on the Fan. You trying to test the my knowledge of House of Pain, jump around? It's funny. I just my father-in-law was with us yesterday. He visited and he was asking if I ever saw the video for House of Pain, jump around. Of course I have. I saw it when I was a child. I think we were talking about how we hadn't been on our roof since St. Patrick's Day, and I think St. Patrick's Day was a warm day. And I was putting my wife on to House of Pain and how I'm like, you're not familiar with, like, the significance of House of Pain and, like, Irish music. They're Irish guys, and they have a bunch of other songs. I don't know. Anyway, I want to talk about the New York Knicks. I don't want to keep talking about the shutout New York Yankees. I don't want to talk about how the Mets didn't make it happen and blew it after Seve had a no-no going. I mean, the Knicks are doing it. I ain't no Knicks fan, but I'm also not a Knicks hater, right? And I see a lot of folks backtracking. I see a lot of folks changing their stances. I see a lot of folks that were saying, oh, Knicks in seven, or not even Knicks at all. Sixers in seven, Sixers in six. No way they stop Joel Embiid. Oh, the Sixers, they've been here before. Nick Nurse is a champion. Blah, 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 blah. The Knicks have a team. As Tommy would say, they have dudes. They have dogs. They've done some damage. And here we go, Knicks fans. I think it's a gentleman's sweep. I was on record saying Knicks in five. I said Knicks in five as soon as we knew, okay, they won the play-in. You know why? Because watching that play-in game, I'm like, they're suspect. The Sixers are suspect. And if Embiid's going to be laboring around like that all series, is going to be a long series. And the one game he got was when he was kicking and screaming, literally pulling on guys, fighting like a little baby, and the refs had his back. Well, you knew after all the highlight clips that went out of what Embiid was doing, we're going to be able to do that again. It's a different game. It's a different game every game of the series. Someone rises, someone falls. There's a different game plan. They throw different looks at you, whatever it is. The Knicks are 3-1. Their fans are feeling it. And here we go. Would you look at this? Tomorrow, in Madison Square Garden, the world's most famous arena, the Knicks have the opportunity to do what I said they would do, a gentleman's sweep. You know, just politely sweep up Joel Embiid, Tobias Harris, Kelly Oubre, Kyle Lowry, Campaign, Nick Nurse, Spike Eskin, the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast, and WIP. Tim in Norwalk, Connecticut on the Fan. What's up, Tim?
How we doing, Keith? We talked the other night. New York, New York. They named it twice. It's so nice.
Yes, sir. It's nice to have two playoff teams.
Again, with the Yankees, I mean, everyone needs to relax a little bit. I understand everything going on with them
we
right now with the hit.
Never
stuff,
relax. We've seen enough of this. They should be better.
We understand that, but can we focus on our team that's in Midtown Manhattan on 34th and 6th right now?
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I mean, right now, you have three Villanova alumni about to beat Philadelphia.
Thought that they'd be fine down there in Wells Fargo Center.
You're
they looked fine yesterday.
Embiid is older than us. We're the same age.
Embiid's 30.
I think he's done.
He just looks like he's 40.
It's true. It's like, what was the guy that got drafted from Ohio State back in the day that went to the
Greg Oden.
And, yeah, that's right. And he went off the deep end. But like I said, right now, you know, my girlfriend right now, especially, I'm not going to go off the deep end. Don't cut me off or whatever. Her mother's from Finland, and I'm saying Rangers are losing Game 4. They're not going to close out the series. They'll win in Game 5 and at Madison Square Garden. And, of course, her mom is from Finland, and Kaapo Kakko scores the game-winning goal. But right now, I mean,
there
with
you
the
go.
Yankees right now.
And the Rangers sweep the series 4-0.
The fact that But then also, not to get off topic, but the Houston Astros are in last place right now.
Yeah, so you that know? First series sweeping the Houston Astros that we were all like, there it is, baby. We're going to win the AL. We knocked off the big, bad Houston Astros, and we come to find out that they're
I
not
know,
good.
I, The Baltimore Orioles, the Toronto Blue Jays, the Orioles, they transformed their ballpark to, get rid of us?
to contain Gleyber Torres, Aaron Judge. The Yankees were going there, and it was home run derby. Yeah, build a ballpark. They had to change their ballpark a little bit to, compete. It worked. I can't even be mad at them. It worked. Since they changed that ballpark, they've been winning.
All right. Well, Knicks are winning tomorrow, and yes, I just wanted to ask you something.
Yeah.
What song are you listening to get pumped up for? Are you listening to Cameron and Jay-Z, Welcome to New York City, or Empire State of Mind to get pumped up for these games?
I don't know. Thanks for the call, Tim. I ain't no Knicks fan. I don't listen to pump-up music to watch the Knicks game. I don't get pumped up. I'm happy for you guys. Take over. You know, take over the streets. I'm really happy for you young Knicks fans. I don't get pumped up for the Knicks, but I'm not a Knicks hater. That's the thing. Like I said, as a Nets fan, we were always punching up. And now that the Nets are completely irrelevant and all Nets fans can do is laugh at KD and the Suns, ha ha ha. You go to another big three. Hey, can you trade me to the destination that I prefer? Yeah, bye. All we're hoping for is, the Suns to be terrible and those draft picks to be good. What I'm saying is I'm a Nets fan, a New Jersey Nets fan, that when it was Knicks versus Nets and the Nets were owning the Knicks, it was fantastic. When it was the Knicks versus Nets, as far as we have a better team and better star players, we are running the city. And even though there's only 10 of us or whatever, that was a good little time, but it was short-lived. Stay down till you come up. The Knicks fans are up right now. Who am I to get on the radio station and project negativity? I watched the games, too. I watched the NBA, too. I told you as soon as the matchup got slated that it would be Knicks in five, that the Sixers will get one game down there, and that those Villanova kids are comfortable down there. So, yeah, no, I don't have any pump-up songs for the New York Knicks game. I watched the New York Knicks game, and I root against Philly, and I don't understand how there are any other people in New York, New Jersey that are rooting for Philadelphia because they're Nets fans. I don't understand how that works. I understand the Nets fans saying, I wish they both could lose, but that's not how it someone's going to win, someone's going to lose. So 877-337-6666. Jarvis in Harlem, New York, back on the Fan.
What's up, Keith? How you doing?
I'm thinking, what song would I listen to before I watch the Knicks beat the 76ers? I guess I'll listen to the NBA theme song in and out of commercials. I don't have a pump-up song for that game.
Yeah. But I want to talk about the Knicks, man. I saw the game yesterday. Sunday or something? The Knicks game?
Yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, yesterday. Okay. So I was just watching it and they was like up 3-1 in the series. And so I'm listening to BT this morning saying just because that they won the series 3-0, and they say, oh, the Knicks going to win the championship. I mean, can you take care of business against the Sixers tomorrow night and then get to the semifinals?
Hey, I don't mind people dreaming and looking ahead, but, yeah, you got to finish your food, finish your plate. You cannot. That's another thing, and let that not be understated. You cannot come home and underestimate your opponent. You cannot come into the Garden where most of your fans are going to be thinking that they're going to party tomorrow night. They're thinking it's done. You can't go into the Garden and think that Embiid and those guys are going to lie down. They're on their last leg. You're going to get their final punches. You're going to get, their last bit of fight because it's their season on the line. This is it for their season. So I wouldn't think it was sweet. I wouldn't think it was easy. Go into this game looking for blood, going to this game, trying to put them away early, because if you don't and you let them hang around, that gives them some kind of life. Now, their fans aren't going to be able to take over the building, but yeah, your own fans will be on edge if you even give them a little sign of life and that game is close.
Yeah. That's all I got to say, so.
That's fine. Thanks for the call, Jarvis. Yeah, so, don't let me understate that. It's still a series. It's still a game because just the way that the breakdown is set up, right? And you can't underestimate. This is the reigning MVP. you can't underestimate those refs and the whistle either. You know, go for it.
Yeah, let me just point out real quick how Jarvis normally calls about the Jets and negativity with the Jets. Ain't nothing to be negative about.
No, because
Jarvis didn't say a word.
That's a pretty good draft. That's a pretty good
Jarvis
haul.
Jarvis didn't say a word.
That's a pretty good haul. Yeah, Matt, now you just queued me up for that. Now I'm going to go into it. I love what the Jets did. I love how they traded around, moved around, traded back, right? You knew they had a bunch of those picks in the, like, fourth, fifth round. Didn't need all of them. So, obviously, I told you Friday that I think the Olu Fashanu kid, it makes sense. The top three wide receivers were off the board. The top three tackles weren't. You got the third guy who might have been just the guy that you liked anyway, a left tackle, a guy that they say is a good pass blocker. You can put him right next to Tyron Smith. If Tyron Smith has a boo-boo, that guy is up. If Tyron Smith is hurt at any point from training camp to the playoffs, that young man is ready to step in, and it's not Mekhi Becton, who just signed with the Eagles. Good luck to him down there. I was not familiar with your game, Malachi Corley. I did not watch one Western Kentucky game all season, but I know they throw the ball down there historically. And when I saw your highlight tape, I'm like, oh, this young man is nasty. This young man does not like to be touched. This is the type of guy you get the ball to when you least expect it, and he's turning a 2-3 yard gain into a home run. They call him the Yak King. This is a guy that they said him and his brother do full-on padded practices in their backyard. This is a little wide receiver that likes contact, likes to run through contact, likes to hit a little bit. It gives you another little gadget guy, not exactly Xavier Gibson type, but similar in that offense where, I mean, I think he beats out Xavier Gibson for playing time. He said he's going to be sleeping at Aaron Rodgers' guest room. He already invited himself into Aaron Rodgers' crib. I love that pick at 65. I love the conviction on it. I love that I was not aware of this man, but every time I watched this film, all he did was catch the ball and bully somebody. All he did was catch the ball and run through tackles. They have so many weapons on offense. Then in the fourth round, they get this kid, Braylon Allen, out of Wisconsin, that I'm looking, I'm like, oh, will the Cowboys pick him? No, because the Cowboys suck. The Cowboys actually have brought back Ezekiel Elliott. And Paul's giving me the, like, feed me sign. No, I thought we were done feeding Zeke. He's absolutely cooked. Dumb. But this Braylon Allen kid, as a compliment to Breece Hall, not Dalvin Cook. Come on, bro. This is a young kid that's ready. And I already told you, I grew up rooting for Florida State, so I'm very aware of Jordan Travis. And I think, if healthy, he's better than Zach Wilson. And you're going to be more fired up just to see him than you would a Zach Wilson in preseason training camp. Then out of South Dakota State, they take a flyer on Isaiah Davis. Why not? Is he a Banaconda? You've got some competition. Good. Iron sharpens iron. It's good to have competition. They even go and get a Toronto Argonaut. Yeah, I like their draft a lot. And then a kid out of Bama, a safety out of Alabama. I think I was talking about Friday, like, hey, you lost a couple guys. Why not try and draft a guy? And they did. I think the Jets did very good. We're going to come up. Joe, you're coming up. I got to take a break. But we're going to talk about the Jets draft. And we're going to continue talking about the Knicks as Game 5 and the gentleman sweep is potentially upon us tomorrow night.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Ball game over. A perfect game. A perfect game for David Cohn.
Sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
And if you don't know, now you know. Right back at it on The Fan, Doug. I still got 2 hours, KM to 2 a.m. I'm going to talk sports with random people over the phone. 877-337-6666. I mean, before break, we were talking about the Jets and how well I think they did drafting, right? Their defense is stacked, so it was offense. And they added a top offensive lineman. They added, low-key, a guy that I think can right away be a good wide receiver. Might not have been in the top 10, 15 receivers on the board, but they knew where they would be looking for a receiver, and they went and got their guy. And I really love the kid out of Wisconsin. I really love that pick. I just think in this NFL, you know, we see these running backs come out of the woodwork like all the time like this. You know, like I saw Blake Corum go to the Rams, and they already have Kyren Williams, and I'm like, Kyren Williams and Blake Corum? I mean, if the Jets have a tandem, which, not if, the Jets now have a tandem of Braylon Allen spelling Breece Hall, and guys get hurt. It's the NFL. Guys get hurt. You got to have backup plans. They have a few running backs. There's going to be good competition in that running back room, and they're all young. You don't have old-ass Dalvin Cook. You know, you don't have to worry about that anymore. So, oh yeah, I said I was going to go to Joe in Norwalk, Connecticut to talk about those Jets. Go for it, Joe.
Keith, baby, how's you?
You know, I'm good, man. I'm enjoying the weather. I'm enjoying the sports. I'm enjoying having a show on WFAN.
That's happy to hear, man. I've been a fan since the George's Box, and since you were on it. And I've been, I used to call all the time, and then I slipped up one time. I knew you guys had to hit the button, so I was scared to call back.
Nah, don't be. I'm not, you know, I know some of our guys will get you blocked. But, you know, cursing is, it's whatever. We're grown men. A lot of us curse. I curse. I just have to come in here and turn that off. So that's not something that you should be afraid to call back. We don't take any offense to it. We understand. You're talking about your teams. You get passionate. You slip.
You know what I mean? Especially when it's about the Jets. And I won't even go into the Yankees right now. But I do want to talk about the Jets. And I have a question for you after we get to the Jets. But I really love the draft they had. And I think the two most underrated picks were the ones maybe people were not the sexiest right now. But I'm a big draft head, and I really like this kid, Braylon Allen, a lot. I mean, a lot of people call him Baby King because he has this very similar makeup to the King himself, Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
He's only 20 years old. He's 6'2". He's yoked like a Greek god.
Yeah.
And he actually trained with the King, too. So I'm very happy about that pick. And, you know, the history of the Jets. The Jets were predicated on the run game. When they were great in the 2000s, they had Curtis. And then when they went to back-to-back AFC championships, they had LT and Sean Green. So very
good. Because if you can run the football, everything else becomes so easy. If you have a threat of the threat of a run game versus not, trust me, I know Dallas Cowboys had no threat of a run game. So then it puts more pressure on your quarterback to throw the ball 50 times a game. You don't want to be in that type of situation. Now you have potentially a two-headed monster, young guys at running back. I think they did great.
Yeah, not to mention that you got Corley, who a lot of people call the young Debo Samuel. I think those are high expectations.
Hand him the ball, too. Jet sweep.
You watch him run. Toss. I mean, he can do anything. He runs like he hates the ground.
He runs like he hates everybody in his path. I was watching his highlight film. I'm like, oh, this guy's a load. He's a lot to bring down at 5'11", 215. I saw some videos of him, and he lifts weights. He's strong. I saw him benching 225 at the combine like it was nothing. For a guy that size, that's the type of guy you want to have in your offense. It just gives you some versatility. It gives you, like I said, like another little gadget guy you can run some different plays with.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one thing I always love about these guys from smaller schools is I think guys like that come in with a chip on their shoulder. And they want to work harder because they know they're coming up with these kids from Alabama and OSU not to say that they've all had it easy, but, you know, they've been in the spotlight.
No, but they've always, you know, they've always been, like you said, in the spotlight. And now we're in an era where so many of these kids are famous in high school, and then they're five-star recruits. So a guy like Malachi Corey, he said himself, he always knew he was going to make it to the NFL. He always knew he was going to be drafted. He might not have had all the offers from the big schools. Now none of that matters. Now you're playing with Aaron Rodgers in New York.
Absolutely, and you're not dealing with guys who come in with these big heads and are automatically divas. Like, we've seen Jet fans with Elijah Moore and, you know, not to take shade to the Giants fans. I know they love Odell, but Odell's somebody with, you know, he came in and he thought NFL was Hollywood right away, and especially being in New York, it was Hollywood. So, and then getting to the next one, not to hold you too long, but the other pick that I love was Jordan Travis, because he's another guy with unfinished business. He had FSU as the number one team going to the college football playoffs. He gets hurt, costs him any Heisman chance. The team gets screwed out of their playoff, and I personally think that if he stayed healthy through the year, it would have been between him and Jaden for the Heisman still, but I think he gets Bo Nix's Heisman nod in the voting, and I also think he would have got Bo Nix's draft spot that came with it. So I mean, I think the Jets really got a quarterback that honestly could have gone in the first round if he stayed
up. Yeah, and who knows what FSU potentially could have done in the playoff with the defense they had. This kid has played some big-time college football, and now he gets to come in, and nobody's expecting anything from him. His leg, hopefully he's good for training camp from the break that he had late in the season. But even if he's not, he gets to learn from Aaron Rodgers, Tyrod Taylor, and in a couple years, maybe he's competing for the starting job.
Yeah, exactly. And he's not not to be offensive to Zach Wilson, but he's not a kid who's come in and had it all his life and
getting
the silver spoon. He's got to work. And honestly, with the Jets, I want guys who want to work, and I want blue collar kids who are going to be here and have to do everything to get on the field. Because look at the problem we had with Zach Wilson. Not to say that Darnold was the same way too, but no, he's a California kid and another guy who was a big name coming out of high school to college. So.
Yeah, and it is a huge culture shock for these guys coming to Florham Park and having to deal with the fans and the media and the expectations and the weather and just the NFL. Jordan Travis gets to fly under the radar a little bit, learn, work on his game, heal up. And like I said, maybe in 2-3 years when Aaron Rodgers is on the way out, Jordan Travis is developed. Thanks for the call, Joe. 877-337-6666. Like I said, jokingly, that kid's probably better than Zach Wilson right now. He's not coming in with all the expectations. And, I just talked about these kids coming out of high school. I hate that, Spencer Rattler was drafted 150 overall by the Saints, which I think is a sneaky move for them. But I hate that that kid fell so far in the draft, right? He was at Oklahoma with the number one overall pick, Caleb Williams, and you've heard a ton this week about Caleb Williams beating him out or not really beating him out, whatever. I hate that they're saying that him being in QB1, which I love that show. That's where I was introduced to Justin Fields. That's where I think Jake Fromm did that show. They said that teams, GMs, held that against Spencer Rattler, and that's why he dropped. From 5-6 years ago, him being in high school? Come on now. Whatever, here comes Jordan Travis, 877-337-6666. I'll say good morning on the other side. I got to go. We'll be right back.